Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Film and Mr. Movie. This week we review Little Fockers and Casino Jack. And now here are Mr. Movie and Mr. Film.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And for our first review, the Focker family returns to the screen this holiday season in its third installment with Little Fockers.
Gobble, gobble, everybody. It's turkey time.
Jack, if you would do the honors.
You're the turkey carver now, Greg.
Thank you, Jack. It's an honor.
I got myself an obsession.
I'm watching you.
Well, I have eyes, too. So I'll be watching you. Watching me.
Mr. Film, don't ask me what happened in the first two movies, because although I think I saw them, they weren't really memorable. In fact, that applies to this third movie, too, and hopefully, final installment of Universal's Little Fockers. This is just lame, trite jokes repeated over and over again, and to call this comedy is an insult to the genre. The basic storyline is this. Money is tight for the Focker family, so Ben Stiller, who plays Greg Focker, decides to start selling an erectile dysfunction drug with the help of an attractive drug rep played by Jessica Alba. Meanwhile, Grandpa Focker, i.e. Robert De Niro, is coming to town for Christmas. He now has some medical problems, so he wants to pass the baton as head of the family on to Ben Stiller. Again, lame jokes ensue about Stiller becoming the Godfocker and other endless references to the Godfather movies that aren't funny. There's also a storyline involving sending one of the little kids off to private school, one of the reasons the Fockers need to make more money, where they tour the best private school in the area, and even more lame jokes and stupid shenanigans continue to puke themselves into this laugh-free failure. And there are about two or three more storylines thrown in here as well, one involving the brother, played by Owen Wilson, and another with Dustin Hoffman as Stiller's father, and yet another with Barbara Streisand as Stiller's mother. Most of the supposed humor here is based on the premise of misidentification and misunderstanding, and with enough puke and sex jokes to make you gag. And it just doesn't work. It's not funny because just a small dose of honesty would resolve all these issues in an instant, so dragging them out for over an hour and 40 minutes is about as tedious as erectile dysfunction jokes are old. Do yourself a favor and skip the PG-13 rated Little Fockers. It's gross, not funny, and just plain bad. I can't say it's the worst movie of the year, though, Mr. Film. I didn't have much expectations going into this. And I'll give the trailer kudos for at least being honest about what this movie is. The trailer tells us that this is terrible, and the movie is actually pretty terrible. So, points for honest marketing, I suppose. And because it delivered on that promise, I'm going to give it the best grade possible here, which I think is a D.
Mr. Movie, sorry, what film are we talking about?
Little Fockers.
Oh, yeah, Little Fockers. I agree that this is probably the most forgettable and least offensive so-called comedy that we've reviewed this year. And I think I like the film a little more than you did, or at least it lulled me enough that I didn't outright hate it as much as you did. But I agree that the entire film is just a series of lame and obvious jokes. The plot, what there is of it, basically sets up a joke, and there were almost neon lights that said, set up here, and then delivers the obvious punchline. And by obvious, I mean obvious. You saw it coming 100 miles away. This really is a masterpiece in terms of what's wrong with Hollywood so-called comedies. The plot is needlessly complicated and stupid, always a lethal combination. The characters are witless and lack charm, and the so-called comedy is obvious, over-the-top, and pointless. The aforementioned erectile dysfunction jokes alone are examples of how not to write comedy. This all being said, I'm going to give it the slightest of passes, and you'll see what I mean by that in a moment, simply because there's far, far worse out there. And this won't scar you like, say, Life as We Know It. The whole conglomeration is an offensive pap, and that's probably the worst thing that you can say about a film whose predecessors have built an entire franchise on grossness and bodily fluids. I'm giving Little Fockers a D+, so in some schools that's a passing grade. So right now that's about as passing as this is going to get.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, you know, erectile dysfunction jokes were funny when Viagra first came out. But when was that? That was like the 90s or something like that. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, like 96.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole Jessica Alba subplot was just a complete waste of time, and having Dustin Hoffman show up here in a couple of scenes was just kind of lame, and the whole thing just, and Owen Wilson just needs to reinvent his entire image. I'm kind of sick of his zen surfer dude thing that he's been doing for the last 20 years. So
I
say that if you have to go see a so-called rom-com comedy or whatever this thing is, go see this, I guess, if this is the best, because this unfortunately is about the best we've got out there right now in terms of typical rom-com sort of thing. I know you liked
How Do You Know?
How Do You Know?
Yeah, that's better, much better. If you're looking for a comedy over the holiday season, go see How Do You Know instead. And, you know, I gave that a B. I think you gave it a C-, so that's even a little bit more passable than this.
Yeah, yeah. So it is slightly better than this. This wasn't as horrible as some things we've seen, but it, as you say, wasn't very good. But, yeah.
All right.
I think that's all we should do with that.
Yes, yes.
Our next film is Casino Jack, starring Kevin Spacey, Barry Pepper, Kelly Preston, and John Lovitz.
Next to God, faith, and country, nothing is more important than influence.
The Wall Street Journal's coming out with a piece called The Super Lobbyist. Do you know what that is?
That's me. I'm the Super Lobbyist.
I'm legally allowed to accept money from special interests in order to influence Congress on their behalf.
It's all part of the bigger picture, Pam. Philanthropy, the academy, my foundation, the restaurants, the boats, the hotel. I'm trying to do important stuff that matters for people.
The R-rated political bio satire from ATO Pictures tells the true story of the decline and fall of lobbyist Jack Abramoff, played by Kevin Spacey, and his protege Michael Scanlon, played by Barry Pepper. The film, directed by the late George Hickenlooper, paints Abramoff as a corrupt opportunist who has little sympathy for the people he's paid to help, primarily Native Americans, who he refers to in the most derogatory fashion. And I mean the most derogatory fashion. But he has a heart of gold underneath it all. He's a devoted family man, a faithful Jew, and philanthropist who gives away far more than he makes. Oh, and Mr. Movie, he's an avid cineast who can find a film quote that fits any situation. Now, Casino Jack is a hard film to take, much less follow, if you don't have at least a passing knowledge of recent U.S. political history. For instance, if you don't know who Tom DeLay is, you're going to be completely lost. Adding to the problem is the picture's tone. The film plays mostly as a political satire, which is fine, but it just seems to let Abramoff off the hook a few too many times while skewering the lobbying system, which is probably one of the most corrupting forces in American politics. The film is far too long, at almost 2 hours, with an extended subplot about offshore gambling involving a crooked lawyer played by John Lovitz in his typically obnoxious, sleazy way. And although this is the crux that led to Abramoff's downfall, it felt kind of lifted from another film altogether. So it felt like Goodfellas dropped right in the middle of the film, and probably wasn't needed to be as fleshed out as it was. The core of the film is Spacey, who is outstanding as Abramoff. Brash, pathetic, but almost sympathetic at the same time. I wish I could say the same for the film, because at the end, I'm not sure what I was supposed to take away from it. Was Hickenlooper and screenwriter Norman Snyder offering this as an indictment of the lobbying system, or as a defense of Abramoff, who, as it makes abundantly clear, was just playing by Washington's own rules? I'd say both. I think you can't walk away from this film and think that lobbying is a good thing. But you're also left thinking that Jack Abramoff isn't such a bad guy after all. So in the end, I'm really on the fence about this film. I really didn't like it, but I didn't hate it either. And it's always fun to see Kevin Spacey do what he does best. I say, wait for it to come out on DVD and fast forward through the slow stuff. I'm giving this a B-, mainly because, I'd probably say only because of Spacey.
I think I agree with you pretty much here. I think B minus is a little bit generous, and I disagree with you a bit about Kevin Spacey. You know, he does a lot of impressions from movies in this, and I don't know. I know that that's how the guy really was, but it just felt a little bit weird and misplaced in some ways. Now, you mentioned John Lovitz, and you didn't sound like you liked him. I liked him in this. I thought this was a good role for him. I thought he was funny. You know, a real pathetic kind of character, but in a way that you just have to laugh at. But you're right about, this really is an indictment of the system and lobbying and whatnot. You know, the system, I think, really creates this kind of corruption and these kinds of people, and that Kevin Spacey didn't play by the rules exactly. That's what got him in trouble. But, you know, it really breeds, philosophically, I think, breeds this kind of behavior. And there's a scene, a climactic scene in the movie where testifying before Congress, and something that happens here, really, he kind of indicts everybody in this. I don't want to give it away, but
was a pretty interesting scene.
So that was good, but I didn't mind so much the side story. I thought that was interesting, and also because I think it brought in John Lovett some more, and we got to experience him more, which I enjoyed. I thought was funny, but on the whole, I agree with you. This is kind of a miss. You know, maybe rent it. I think I'm going to give it a C minus.
Okay. That's fair enough. This wasn't, and the fact that they also were playing it as a satire, but they kind of let Abramoff off a little bit. Yeah. I think if you're going to do a satire and you're going to really indict the lobbying system, you have to indict everyone who is part of it, no matter if they're playing by the rules or not.
I think that's a good point. And especially when you're talking about this system of lobbying and whatnot, I think a satire is an appropriate thing to do in this context. And I think they should have gone full out and really indicted everyone.
I mean, Abramoff does come off at the end. You do see, well, he's not such a bad dude. He just picked the wrong profession to get into. But I don't know.
He's also kind of an egomaniac too, you know.
Absolutely. So he's not a very sympathetic guy, and they make him into a sympathetic guy, which I think typically you don't do in satire. As a matter of fact, you almost kind of go almost a little over the top the other way. You make him even more horrible than they probably were. So yeah, I think a near miss. If you're a political junkie, wait till it comes out on DVD or on pay-per-view or Netflix and check it out. But I miss it in the theater.
Yeah. Interestingly, there was a documentary made about him called Casino Jack and the United States of Money, I think it's called, and it's available on Netflix for streaming. And I thought that might be interesting to take a look at both of these to see, like, you know, the fictional telling of it, you know, storytelling of it versus an actual documentary. And I watched about 20 minutes of the documentary, and it wasn't that good. So unfortunately, we didn't get, I think actually in this instance, the storytelling aspect was better. So for what it's worth.
Okay. Well, that's another option now. Again, for those politically minded listeners who have to have their political fix, check out Casino Jack and the United States of Money. But
that can be streamed on Netflix right now. So.
Yeah, and that could be on Netflix with the caveat that it may not be as engrossing as the fictionalized tale.
All right.
So that'll do it for this show. On our next show, we'll be reviewing True Grit with Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon, and Somewhere, Sofia Coppola's newest directorial effort.
That wraps the show for this week. Please visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have a comment, question, or want to send us something by email, just write to mail@moviefilmshow.com. And please tell all your friends to subscribe to us in iTunes. Just go to our website and click on the iTunes link in the subscribe box. Well, that wraps it up, Mr. Film. I'll see you next show.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
Mr. Film, don't ask me what happened in the first two movies, because although I think I saw them, they weren't really memorable. Godfucker.
Sorry, what film are we talking about?
It's not funny, because just a small dose of honesty would resolve all these issues in an instant.
Basically sets up a joke, and there were almost neon lights that said, "Set up here," and then delivers the obvious punchline.
Godfucker.
And by obvious, I mean obvious. This really is a masterpiece in terms of erectile dysfunction jokes.
Especially when you're talking about this system of lobbying and whatnot, I think a satire is an appropriate thing to do in this context, and I think they should have gone full out and really indicted everyone.
He's a devoted family man, a faithful Jew. Sorry, what film are we talking about? I'd say both.
That's me, I'm the super lobbyist.
I'll be watching you, watching me.